Okay, we've got open lines for you now for the next couple hours. Plus, let's talk about the weird moment, something weird that you've witnessed in your life. Let's share those stories. Wow, when we open up the lines like that, anything happens. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines here. Hey, I'm going to be headed out to Denver this weekend for our Beyond Belief television tapings and then back to Los Angeles for a while, and then I've got an event in New Orleans, so I'll be coming back to St. Louis in October, and then we go back because we've got an event up there in Santa Clara, a great UFO Ancient Aliens event. So come on out if you're in that area. All that's posted at coasttocoastam.com. And then we're into more holidays. Can't believe it. Thanksgiving, Christmas. Unbelievable. Okay, let's go to the phones. Brad in Denver, where I'll be tomorrow. Hey, Brad, welcome to the show. How's the weather?
It's nice.
Great.
Actually, a little chilly tonight, but not too bad.
I can handle that. It's been raining in St. Louis for the last couple days.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it'll get better.
Oh, well.
I apologize. I'm a little under the weather, so my voice isn't the best. But okay. I just wanted to ask your guest if he has any thoughts on Bigfoots being basically Neanderthals, hominoids. Have you heard, do you know anything about a gentleman named Lloyd Pye?
Oh, yeah. Now, Lloyd is no longer with us. He passed away about a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Oh, I did not know
that. He was a great guy. He used to be on my show, Brad, quite often, talking about a star child that he had. He had the skull, an elongated skull. And, gosh, I miss him. You bring back amazing memories of the guy.
Yeah, he seemed like a great guy. I just recently watched a YouTube video called Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Right.
And he does an incredible job of explaining, basically blows Darwin's theory of evolution out of the water.
Absolutely. And, you still may be able to get his book in that same title, because it's pretty fascinating.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
And in terms of Neanderthals, you want to check out the work of Michael Cremo. Michael has got an amazing series of programs that he has done about civilizations, and he believes that humankind is much older than what science is telling us. Next up on the list, let's go to Mike in Wyoming, west of the Rockies. Hey, Mike, thanks for holding over.
Well, how are you tonight, George?
Good, Michael. Thank you.
Well, it seems like every time I get through, I miss...
You miss the guest.
I hit, yeah. Run out of time on the guest, but I'm going to tell you my story anyway.
All right, yeah, love to hear it. Bigfoot story?
It's a Bigfoot story.
Okay.
Back in 1975, so it's been a while, my girlfriend and I went out to Wallace, Idaho, and I was looking for work, and they didn't have very much money, so when we came back out of Idaho into northern Montana, it was getting late. It was in the summertime, so I decided, let's just take a side road here up one of these little draws here and find a place to park for the night. And so we did. We drove up between these two ridges for about, a couple miles. And there was a little road turned off to the right and went back into this little park that was probably 100 foot in diameter. And it was going to be a moonlit night, but it hadn't come up over the ridge yet. And we had no more, just gotten parked there. And we heard this ungodly scream from the top. It was way back up this ridge.
Yeah.
And this thing let out this horrible scream. And I thought, what in the world is that? So, we're laying in the back of the pickup. And so I gather up all my guns and we're peeking over the tailgate there. And this, whatever it was, and I'm assuming it's a Bigfoot, I mean, you could hear it crashing down through the timber, just like it was just totally mad, just tearing stuff as it went.
And was it still screaming?
Yeah, it had let out a couple more all the way down through there. And then when he got down to the level where we were at, he kind of quieted down, and you can hear him walking, just the footfalls. And he just kind of skirted about, if you take a 90-degree arc, from one side of the pickup to the back. He just kind of skirted around to the edge there and stood back there for quite a little while. And I didn't have a bloody flashlight with me. And then pretty quick, I heard a couple little noises, and that was it. Never heard another peep out of him.
What's your gut tell you about that?
It tells me it was probably Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, I've lived out here all my life. I've heard mountain lions and coyotes and what have you. And when that guy said the electronic elephant sound, that, you know, it kind of sort of was that. But, and then I got just a real quick UFO story, too, I think.
You think? You're not sure, huh?
Well, it was a UFO. I don't know. I couldn't identify it, and it was flying. Actually, two of them. Around the 1st of August, we have a little program here in the town I live. It's called No Woodstock, and bands come from all around. And I'm on the EMT crew here, and so we do our medical standby down there for it.
And I'm sure you get some cases, don't you?
Actually, you know, we don't. You'd be surprised.
Really?
Yeah. You know, a Band-Aid here and a Band-Aid there. And one guy broke his ankle jumping off the bridge into the creek one year. But
yeah.
Other than that, it's pretty quiet. But I looked up, and there was this long silver cylinder that was just scooting right along, you know. And I thought it was a drone, but after I got to looking at it a little closer, there were no propellers. It wasn't making any sound, and it was just zinging along.
How big was it?
Well, kind of hard to tell from the altitude, but I would say it was probably about as big around as
a jet, a plane.
It could have been, you know, but without any wing structure on it,
right,
or anything.
Right, no tail, no wings.
Yeah. And here just last week, I went outside for a little bit, and I was coming back in, and I happened to look up in the northeast section of the sky, and this thing was moving away from me, and I could see one little blinking light on the bottom of it. I could never discern a color because the lights on the main body of the craft kind of obliterated it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like if you took a one-story section of an apartment building and turned all the lights on.
Huh.
You could see individual light panes, your window panes, going across the back of this thing. And it was, you know, it was quite a ways away, but I would say that it was, you know, it had to be several hundred feet wide, because there was at least, I'm thinking, 8 or 10 of these window pane light things.
Mike, that's pretty big size. It's very big size, as a matter of fact. You know, I would have thought if, you know, things happening today, they could be drones, maybe not that big. But years ago, no, I don't think we had those yet. We take your texts, and we also take your tweets. Tom's back there in L.A. with one of them.
We are going to start with a tweet.
A tweet.
A tweet. He says, "Yo, George, Gus here. I was wondering what your thoughts are on the creepy clown cases."
Oh, I hate creepy clowns. Now, this happens to be in the Winston-Salem area.
Yes.
And parents are really freaked out about this. First of all, I don't know who in their right mind would dress up like a clown, even the kid things, because you're going to get shot, you know, if you do that. But no, there's something. I think one of the clowns chased a kid, tried to stab him. I mean, there's something sick going on out there.
Well, you hit it on the head. They're not in their right mind, and it is sick.
It is sick. And, you know, and again, it adds to the reason why I don't like clowns.
Yeah, but movies are movies, you know. Life is
these
life.
These aren't movies. This is real life.
That's what I'm saying. You need to you don't have to not like them on TV just because something real happens.
Well, they're just creepy, and this
they
is
are.
Indicative.
That's true. They are.
All right. Thanks. Carlos in Carson, California. Hey, Carlos, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good evening, George. Listen, I think there's more than meets the eye to Uber, the taxi company.
All right.
It's undercutting prices, and it's driving taxi companies out of business, reminiscent of what Standard Oil and John D. Rockefeller did in the early 1900s. What I'm afraid of is that once it drives the competition, it's going to then become a monopoly and raise prices. Now, it's also going into various industries, catering, delivery services, shipping of materials, medical services, and I think it's going to do the same with these other industries.
Let me tell you, Carlos, it's technology. By the way, Uber sponsors part of our program, so I want everybody to know that and to be above board with that. But they tapped into technology again, like Matt Drudge tapped into technology, where most people go to the Drudge Report now. They don't get newspapers. I mean, how many of you have canceled your newspaper subscription? You don't get the newspaper tossed on your driveway anymore. I mean, right now you can go to CNN.com, FoxNews.com, BBC, Drudge, Breitbart, Coast to Coast. You can do all that to get all the information that you want. Technology has done that to people, and it's had its pluses and minuses. I mean, there's no question the increase in technology has hurt some of the older technology businesses, like some of the cab companies, like the newspapers. I just don't see any of that slowing down. I think more and more things that happen technologically are going to affect some of the other things. I mean, look what Amazon has done to the bricks and mortar retail places. I mean, that's another thing. A lot of people just don't like parking. You go to a mall, you got to park so far away, and sometimes women are at risk getting to their cars at night. Amazon, you just get online and order what you want, and boom, it's there. I think a lot of it is technology, Carlos, and I think government is watching to make sure there's no price gouging or anything like that. But this world is changing. It's changing drastically, and I don't think it's going to slow down at all. Let's go to Santa Maria, California. It's Gary's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Gary, welcome.
Oh, George, I disagree with you on your last statement, man. I'd like to comment on it. I don't think government is keeping up on it. I think we have a government designed for horse and buggy days, where people couldn't immediately vote, and they had to get delegates, and they had to get the Electoral College to gather the consensus and have that's horse and buggy with Uber and their competitor were both funded with $200 million plus from one from Google and the other one from Alibaba. They know what they're doing. Let me give you one big plus and one huge minus as to what's going to be happening within this next year to year and a half.
A prediction?
Well, a cast in stone prediction. If you doubt anything that I say, just go to the Black Hat YouTube channel. High-level hackers, lots of accents on the stage. Read their presentations that they put up on the channel if you can't get past the accent. Your GPS gets you in the ballpark of any location. The smart grid works on an operating system called Zigbee. You have high-energy Bluetooth, low-energy Bluetooth. They work like crickets. A cricket's giving a long-range signal and a short-range signal. They can pinpoint you within 1 inch of where you're standing. GPS works on a real-time clock.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at the voting booth with an electronic machine like Soros is attempting to push on you, the real-time clock knows exactly that you're at that voting booth. My voting booth is at the Catholic Church. My Bluetooth knows I'm exactly in the confessional when to turn on the microphone. It knows by its real-time clock and the voting machine real-time clock exactly how you specifically vote while you're in there. The real-time clocks match up. The geolocation puts you inside the voting booth, and maybe you're not voting like somebody wants you to. They will just change your vote because you don't believe in global warming, or you do believe in global warming. So they change your vote. They get two votes. You could geotag your neighbor's house. He might have a pretty wife. You can geotag the house and find a lookalike girl that wants to do some very, very naughty scenes while you pull up in front of their house. It's the Wild West. I have the most famous address in Santa Maria now. I went out and got 5026harp.com, right across the street from the Catholic Church. Everybody knows it. Guess what? Cost me all of $8. www.5026harp.com. It goes right to my YouTube channel. Everybody should secure their address with a domain name, unless you want somebody playing games with your address. The upside is production, jobs on the Indian reservations, having a Native American actors do reenactment of old times, looking through those geolocations on your smartphone, seeing how life was, turning your camera to a wall and immediately interfacing with an electron microscope down to the nth degree, turning around, facing a star, interlacing with a Hubble video that takes you right into the star. The world has changed. You got to give up on your horse and buggy. Vote these politicians out of office if they don't start changing our laws to protect our privacy. I don't want a Satanist cult doing an X-rated video when a group of them gather at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, which is possible because nobody owns cyberspace and they're geotagging it for anything they want to do, and I would appreciate it.
The only way it's going to stop, Gary, is if they eliminate it altogether, and they're not going to. The Internet is growing and growing and growing by leaps and bounds, and it's not going to slow down. So everything you said, whether it's possible technologically, I don't know, but it's not going to stop. People are going to try, and that is for sure. We're going to continue with more open lines here. That was a fast half hour. So get ready to make the call. We'll give you the numbers in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And you can also like us on Facebook and, of course, follow us on Twitter. And welcome back to Coast, open lines here for you. And we're going to do it again next hour as well. Let's go to Ontario in Canada. Rena is with us. Hello, Rena. Thanks for calling.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. First time caller and long time listener.
Well, welcome to the program. What finally inspired you to call?
Well, I was taking a course in the 90s in Northern Ontario towards the Quebec border. And I've never really told anyone this, but we had to do a 7-kilometer cross-country trek to get to the camp.
Okay.
So I was looking for my ski poles, and, you know, there were about 30 of us. Well, someone had mine, so everyone had gone. Well, those people that had my poles, they went ahead of me, and then they realized they had mine. To make a long story short, I went up this trail on my own.
Wow.
And I was, I don't know how far I was from the camp, but I saw this tall figure. I thought it was a figure. And it was as tall as the trees. And it looked like a bear. But I mean, a bear, I don't know if it's that tall.
Not as big as a tree,
unless
it's a smaller tree, of course.
I was scared, but I had to keep going. There was no one there. I had to get to the camp. So when I got to that area where I saw this, whatever it was, I had this horrible, horrible feeling, like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like queasy, scary feeling going through this area. So finally, I get to the camp. I didn't see anything. And I never told anyone. So now a week later, we go back, and I'm walking with a couple of people, and around the area, like we had passed it, I looked back, and I saw it again. So I said to the person next to me, look back and see if you see anything. And they saw the same thing I did.
Huh.
What do you think it was, George?
Well, did it move much?
It just kind of stood there. It, like it was looking at us, but it was this creepy feeling that I had, like, you know, your hair standing up and like I don't know how to describe, you know, when you're scared and you know there's something around you that a place
you could sense it. You sense it.
Yeah, it was like a gut feeling, but it was just in that area where I saw it. So, and I've done some research trying to see if there was anything such as Bigfoot down in that area. And
that would be a big Bigfoot.
Yeah, a big one. I don't know what it was. I thought, well, maybe it's just me. You know how sometimes when you're out in the country or something, you might see what looks like water on the road, but when you get there,
it's not there. It's like a mirage.
Right. So I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. But when this person saw the same thing as I did on the way back, I knew it had to be something.
Do you think some trees could almost be alive to the point, not alive as a tree, of course it's alive, but I mean that it has shape and personality to it and that it could actually communicate and move?
It's funny you should say that because I have heard previously that trees do have some kind of life to them that,
yeah,
you know, you can go up and hug a tree and
they'll hug you back.
Yes. I don't think it was the trees. I don't think it was the trees. It was something in the middle of that trail. It wasn't, there was bush on each side, but it was in the middle of the trail. It wasn't by the trees.
Well, you're lucky it didn't attack you.
I know. That's what I was afraid of.
The thing. I love
it. But anyway, I just thought I would run that past you and see what you thought.
That's strange, Rena. I don't know what it was. I don't. Let's go to Kevin in Minnesota, east of the Rockies. Hi, Kev. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Kevin. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call you because I had a weird experience. I've had a lot of weird experiences and whatnot. But
what happened?
Like 6 months ago, I think it was that or whatever, I was going to go to bed, and I've had a lot of goofy stuff happen and whatnot, but this was something I don't understand and whatnot, so that's why I wanted to call you and get your take on it.
Okay.
And see if any of the Coast to Coast listeners have ever happened to them before. What actually happened was I was sitting on the edge of my bed, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and then I had this buzzing noise in my head. You know how an old pinball machine, if you score something really good and it goes, ah!
Yeah.
Like that? Yeah. That's what happened, and it felt like it was in the middle of my head, like where your pineal gland is.
Okay.
And it startled the heck out of me.
Did it go away, finally?
Well, no, it just happened, just like I said. And I was sitting there, like, wondering, like, what the heck was that? And it started the heck out of me and whatnot, and then it did it again. It went,
did you get checked out by a doctor? Make sure you don't have any kind of a brain damage or anything?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've been checked out and whatnot. But then I, like, went to bed and whatnot, and as I was going to sleep, it did it a little bit right when I was going to sleep, and it's never happened again.
It could be what is called, which I'm checking into now because we had a caller on it yesterday, exploding head syndrome. Tommy, we got to check into that, don't we?
Absolutely, we do. Getting my mic on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're ready to roll.
Ready to roll.
What do we got?
Got something from Carrie Ann. She says, do you know the show Stranger Things? And if so, do you think it'll generate new interest in MK Ultra?
That's an interesting question. I don't watch the show. MK Ultra, of course, highly secretive government project. But probably not. I don't think it would. It'll die on the vine.
I've never seen either, so I don't know.
No, I haven't heard too much about that show at all.
George, do you remember Vernon the dog?
You were going to give us an update on Vernon the dog.
I am. And
somebody shot it with a shotgun, right?
Unbelievable. And one of our listeners, who is a trucker, found the dog at a truck stop and brought him into the Barstain.
His paw was shut off or something like that?
Yes. They were able to save his paw. They put in some kind of plates, and the trucker adopted him on May 8th.
Perfect.
There is a little video that is on our Facebook page people can go look at.
Excellent. We did a little fundraiser for the puppy.
We did, and he's saved, and I think it's a great story. I'm so glad they were able to do that.
Is he running around with his prosthetic leg?
It's not prosthetic. They saved the paw. They put in these plates.
They didn't even put in the prosthetic at all?
No, much like pins in your leg.
God, we thought they did originally, didn't we?
Yeah, well, that's what they were saying, that they were most likely going to have to do.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
So the video shows the dog walking around with the plates on?
Yeah, it shows him right after he got home from the hospital, and he's running around the little room.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did that.
I am glad, too.
All right, thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to first-time caller Kimberly in the state of Washington. Hi, Kimberly. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. I was just wondering if anybody else had called you with the experience of two people really close that have experienced seeing a UFO and then afterwards just never discussing it again afterwards. It was like me and my sister.
Like they forgot it or they were afraid to?
I don't know, like we're embarrassed too. Like, did you see that? Or did you, you know, it's kind of like a...
That does happen.
The two of us, it's crazy.
That does. It's almost like, did you just see what I saw? And then you forget about it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been like 20 plus years. But my husband at the time was sleeping, and I was pregnant with my daughter, and my sister was over visiting. And we were just looking, you know, kept looking out the window and seeing this object. It was just darting over and stopping and then disappearing. And all of this, so my fiance, husband at the time, he was sick with the flu. And I went in like three different times to wake him up and say, you have to come out here and see this. And, you know, he finally, every time he came out, ironically, it had just disappeared right exactly when he would come out.
Wow. What did it look like?
He doesn't believe it, and he thought we were both Lulu and everything, so maybe that has something to do with it. But he told us, don't wake him up again unless it lands. Like the thing, you know?
And takes you or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, lots of sightings out there, to be sure, but a lot of people are embarrassed to tell other people. Dave, it's in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Yes. How you doing, George?
Good,
I tried to get on a while back, and you said to shoot you an email, and I did shoot you an email. I don't know if you got it or not. But basically what I wanted to talk about, this last gentleman, he was not the last one, but the one before that, he was talking about this exploding head syndrome.
Head syndrome, yes.
Yes, I heard about that a couple nights ago on your program. And quite frankly, I am convinced, okay, that there's something very, very reprehensible, appalling, what's going on in our country right now. And I think I broached the subject real quick with you the last time I got on. It deals with technology. And Ted Gunderson, I had an acquaintance with him for a few years. He was the senior special agent in charge
with the FBI. Yeah, and then he passed away a couple years ago, didn't he?
He passed away July 31st, 2011, on my wife's birthday. And I had the opportunity to talk to him on this subject. We went to Washington, D.C. with a few people like Ted Gunderson, and we went there basically to talk about these appalling technologies that they're piggybacking off of this. I think a lot of them are piggybacked off the SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative.
Sure. And the technology is even greater now.
It's absolutely off the charts, George. And I've researched it. I have been actually attacked myself, you know, with this type of technology, along with hundreds of other people. In fact, I had a toll-free line for 18 years, and all we discussed was what was going on in our country, okay? And this information technology, they broached it briefly on 60 Minutes in 1996. Steve Croft was the anchor person, okay?
Yeah.
And his guests were Christopher and Janet Morris. They were part of the Clinton administration. And they helped develop some of this weaponry, okay? And then, of course, you know, there's been a whole lot of other people that came down the line, like Mark Phillips. You know, I talked to him, and he basically told me that, you know, you not to talk about things like this, you know.
Well, I was going to say, how many people who have looked into this aren't around anymore?
Many. That's the reason why I wanted to call. I don't want Ted Gunderson. He was way before the Edward Snowdens. He was before John St. Clair.
He died of natural causes, though, didn't he?
Pardon?
How did he die?
Brain tumors. And when I interviewed him, I talked to him, and he went to Washington, D.C. We had lunch and dinner together. And that was my first question to him. I had talked to him many times on the phone, but I didn't broach the subject on the phone. He basically just told me how the technology works, because he was giving presentations in Las Vegas at the time on the information warfare, the same thing that 60 Minutes was talking about, okay? But he was really getting into it. He actually gave presentations on how it works, the whole nine yards. And just before I started talking again, you said something. What did you just say?
Well, we were talking about what killed him, and you said a brain tumor. My next question was going to be, did they bombard him?
See, I have brain lapses myself once in a while, you know. The first question I asked him was the fact, have they ever tried to kill you? And he says, yes, they've tried to kill me three times, and the last time they tried to kill me. Now, he's talking about his peers.
Yes.
Okay. You know, people that, you know, that he believes, you know, in government positions like him and the FBI, whatever. This is what he was implying to me. And then he said that he was in his car, and he said what happened was that it looked like there were syringe marks in the weather stripping around the door, okay. And it took them a while to figure out. He got deathly sick. There was some kind of a chemical base in his car.
Well, he might have been, David, a campaign to do him in. That could have happened indeed. Let me take a few more calls. We're almost at the top of the hour, but we've got more open lines. If you hear some thunder coming through my microphone here in the cave in St. Louis, there is one heck of a storm on the way. And so I've got some backup battery generators and stuff, so we'll stay on the air, but you may hear some rumbling like crazy. Let's go to Jim in Chicago. Hey, Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm good. Did you hear thunder at all?
You know, I just heard some sort of static just now as I came on.
Huh, okay. Yeah, there's
been,
big
I've
ones
been listening
coming.
To you for years, George, but I just now have a reason to call you.
All right.
I had two dogs, two Labradors that were just
lovely.
Coolest dogs. Yeah, coolest dogs you ever saw. I just lost them both consecutively. You know how that happens. One goes and then the other follows.
How old were they?
They were just under 13. You know, they were big dogs.
Yeah, that's a pretty good 13 years for a lab's pretty good.
Definitely. And just, you know, I had so many good years with them. They were both Frisbee dogs, but my chocolate lab was just larger than life. He was 120 pounds. This dog
wow, that's a big dog.
Big dog, and he would jump 6 feet in the air catching Frisbees and never miss. You know, I've got tons of videos. But, you know, I was looking through old pictures, you know, sentimental, and I came across a picture that has a ghost in it. Now, if you can imagine, I've got this huge balcony. It's all windows with
okay.
a sliding door. So the sliding door was open, the two dogs, they always laid together or sat together. So they're there. There's a reflection on the right window that has a ghost in it. I thought it was Zeke. That's my chocolate lab. I thought it was one of his ancestors or something. But it almost has human features to it. So I don't know.
But does it look somewhat animal as well?
Totally. Exactly. I don't know if it's like a portal. You know, I would like to have a psychic look at this picture.
Jeez.
Or I should go on a TV show with all the videos I have. I'm telling
you. You should. So it's an animal type ghost with human features.
Totally. Exactly.
Like a face, like a human face?
Like a face. I'm looking at it now. You can see the eyes, the nose, the mouth, and you know, by the photo it looks like it would be standing right next to me as I'm taking this photo of my dogs out on the balcony. So I don't know if it's one of my ancestors.
How old is the picture?
The picture, I'm looking at it now. It was, they were young, so it's probably 10 years old.
Wow, and you just noticed it?
It's up on my mantle, George, and I just never noticed, you know, because it's in a glare on the window off to the right.
What finally did it for you to catch it?
Well, like I said, I lost them both consecutively.
Yeah.
And, I was sentimental looking at old photos. I'm
Then you see the ghost. Wow. I wouldn't mind if you could send us a picture of it, too, at george@coasttocoastam.com. I'd love to take a look at that as well. We are at the top of the hour. I've got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back for another hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM.